From KUOW Seattle, this is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman. In 1990, a teenager named Corey Roberts was convicted of raping and beating a three-year-old girl. Roberts served time in a juvenile detention center and later in prison. For the past 11 years, Roberts lived at the Special Commitment Center on McNeil Island. He was released last week. The Special Commitment Center houses nearly 300 sex offenders who've served out their criminal sentences, but they're held indefinitely, deemed too dangerous to release. It's a process called civil commitment. King County Public Defender Virginia Fowler often represents sex offenders. She told me how Washington became the first state in the nation to pass a civil commitment law.
The Community Protection Act of 1990 grew out of three horrible crimes that happened in 1988 and 1989. The first was here in Seattle. Diane Balashotis was abducted and in downtown Seattle, and then her body was found a week later in another part of Seattle. And then the next year, Earl Schreiner, who was a prior sex offender, abducted, raped, and mutilated a seven-year-old boy who had just been out riding his bike in Tacoma. There was a huge public outcry about that. There were marches at the governor, and primarily spearheaded by the mothers of those two victims.
What is the process for someone to be civilly committed in Washington?
One of the things that the Community Protection Act created was an end-of-sentence review board. So that board looks at every person who has been convicted of a sex crime and evaluates them to see if they think they meet the criteria for sexually violent predators. They have an outside forensic psychologist out of a pool of psychologists that they have picked who does the evaluation. It then goes to the prosecutor, and they decide whether they believe that the criteria have been met.
I'm talking with King County Public Defender Virginia Fowler, and we're talking about civil commitment in Washington State. So how would somebody get released from a civil commitment?
The process allows for annual reviews, which actually happen not quite annually, and you are able to challenge your commitment through that annual review. And then you are able, if that is denied, you are able to appeal that. However, the legislature has restricted the criteria under which you can challenge your commitment to the extent that it is a very difficult process.
And there are almost 300 sex offenders who are serving out sentences on McNeil Island at this center. Are there any who would just as soon stay there?
I think there are some who would just as soon stay there. They are the people who have no family whatsoever. A lot of them have physical problems. They're generally older, and they're afraid of going out. I think when, for instance, the men in Bellingham were murdered because they were sex offenders, it sent a shockwave through the Special Commitment Center.
So they're afraid of retribution should they be on the outside and people find out what they did?
Exactly.
It strikes me, speaking to you, that this is such a complicated issue because on the one hand, there are people in the community went forward, passed a Community Protection Act. They're worried. But on the other, if somebody serves out a sentence that's handed down by a court, isn't that the end? Shouldn't that be the end? Isn't there some kind of constitutional right that a sex offender, a convicted sex offender, has to serve a sentence and then be released?
The issue has been litigated in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has decided as long as these are mental institutions where people are actually receiving treatment, that it is constitutional. The problem is that most of the people, I think, in the Special Commitment Center have serious issues. They have post-traumatic stress disorder. They have mental illness. They are intellectually disabled. They have underlying issues which have to be dealt with in order for them to be even able to understand the necessity for sex offender treatment. And yet sex offender treatment is the only treatment that's provided. For intellectually disabled people, it's pretty well understood that individual therapy is what is most helpful. and the full amount that anyone at SCC gets of individual, quote, therapy is 15 minutes per month from their case manager and 15 minutes every month to every 3 months from a psychiatrist for a medication check. They do provide psychiatric medication, but for people who are brain damaged, for people who have different kinds of disorders, that may or may not be very helpful. And even for those where psychiatric medications are necessary, without the therapy that goes with it, you just don't have compliance. And that is pretty well understood in the psychological community.
So just a last question in your mind, is it that the regulation or the law needs to be amended to include those things, or does this kind of law, this special commitment law, need to be repealed?
Well, in my mind, it has to be repealed. First of all, the creation of the Special Commitment Center is based on people's fears, and it's an understandable fear when a horrible crime that happens in the two cases that I've mentioned happens, everybody feels afraid about that. But the actual statistics show that the repetition of sex offenses is actually very, very tiny. People do not commit multiple sex offenses. Now, there are individuals who do, but most sex offenders do not recommit sex offenses when released. They may be criminals and commit some other crime, but they don't recommit the sex offenses. And so it's a false feeling of safety that we get by locking these people up away on an island where we don't have to look at them.
Virginia Fowler, thank you so much for talking with me this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Virginia Fowler is a senior attorney at the King County Public Defender's Office. This is The Record on KUOW.